Well, again, good morning. Happy Sabbath to each of you today. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing as we begin our service today. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that we have here today. We ask your blessing upon this part of the service. May the words that I share today bring hope and encouragement, and also may it bring us the insight to your word and the plans that you have for us. Bless us, I pray. Give us, again, the words to speak. And may they be filled with your Holy Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, today's sermon title is The Remnant, Its Mission and Purpose. And we're going to look at a couple of scripture verses today about the remnant church. I know this is Easter weekend, and many around the world are talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and so forth, but we're gonna touch on that today anyways. You know, the part of the remnant's message is to point the world to Jesus that has risen from the dead and has given us eternal life and that eternal hope. Well, let's look at our scripture verses today. Revelation chapter 12, I guess it's just one verse, but verse 17, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, our scripture reading for today. It says, "The dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Well, what does a woman symbolize in Bible prophecy? The woman symbolizes in Bible prophecy a church. And Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus tells us that he is the head of the church. So it's not something new that we're going to be looking at today, but I want to hopefully give us some insight or some encouragement about the role that we have to play as Seventh-day Adventists living in the last days. Again, the woman in Bible prophecy symbolizes God's church, and the Bible says that he went to make war with the remnant of what? Her seed. Okay? So what's interesting about this verse, as we note, is that the devil makes war with the woman. And if you remember Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 12 and so on, there was 1260 years in which the woman was persecuted and chased down by that beast power. And it was for those 1260 years in 1798 that the Pope was taken captive that ended those 1260 years. And the woman again was free, if you will, to worship and to serve God and so forth without being persecuted for their faith and their religion. Well, also too, in the year 1798 or thereabout, we had another beast power that opened up. And and it allowed for religious freedoms, and that, of course, is the United States of America. And in the time frame of this 1260 years, ending in 1798, you'll notice it says the remnant of her what? The remnant of her seed. And you'll notice it says the devil, or the dragon, was wroth with the woman, angry with the woman, angry with the church, and angry with the remnant of her seed. So, the remnant is a group of people, or God's church, living after the year 1798, prior to the second coming of Jesus. And you'll note here, the dragon was wroth. Well, we read earlier in Revelation chapter 12, or we have read before in Revelation chapter 12, that the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows what? That his time is short. Well, the devil continues his anger not only against the church and trying to destroy the church during those 1260 years, but now he is going after the seed of the woman. He is going after the woman and its seed. He's going after the offspring of the woman. Well, the woman that lived during the 1260 years was a group of people who held to the truths of God's word despite spiritual or religious persecution. And out of that came a message of hope for the soon return of Jesus Christ. You know, layer upon layer was built. Well, we come here today, and I believe, friends, that there is a remnant that's going to come out of the woman in the last day prior to the second coming of Jesus. And again, you'll note, the dragon is angry and wroth with the woman and her seed. In other words, friends, we are going to be contending with the devil until the day Jesus comes. Amen? I mean, that's good news, because when we're doing something right, the devil is always on our tail. Amen? And so we have today the hope and the trust that Jesus is with us when we go through these trials. Okay, enough with that. Let's get into the remnant and its mission and its purpose today. Notice this. It says, the devil was wroth with the woman and the remnant of seed, which do what? Which keep the commandments of what? Of whom? Keep the commandments of God. And notice, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, we have to ask the question, who is the remnant? Who are they? What are they like? What are they, you know, what are their actions? What are they doing in the last days? Who are they? And so forth. Well, there's 2 points that I want to look today that will help us identify the remnant church. The remnant are those who truly believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, in Revelation chapter 14, the Bible says, in speaking of the 144,000, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. And friends, I believe the remnant is the same way. Jesus said He has many sheep that are what? Not of this fold. And I like that. Not of this fold. And I look at it in this term, not of this fold yet. In other words, God is opening the door to allow all to come in. Friends, there's one church, amen, in the last days. Jesus is the head of that church. And many people have said this is kind of ambiguous, and this is a spiritual church in the last days. It's not really a literal church. It's made up of a community of believers. Friends, it's interesting. The Bible says one God, one baptism, one Lord, and one Savior. Amen? And also, too, the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. So if there's only one Lord, one Savior, and one God, Jesus Christ, then there has to be only one church. Amen? Well, I'm not going to puff us up with pride today. I want to challenge us. I want to give us a little bit of discouragement today, as well as give us hope. Because I know you can already, you know, you can. We've heard this message so many times, you can already reach down towards the end of the sermon and see where I'm going at it. And you know all the verses that I'm going to look at today, I'm sure. But I want to really challenge us as a body of believers in our calling. What is our responsibility? Who is the remnant again? Those who truly believe in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question, friends. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? How many of you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, there's many people that believe in Jesus Christ out there in the world. But friends, do you love Jesus Christ? That's the bottom line. Do you love Jesus Christ so much, you see? Are you willing to give your life to Christ? Are you willing to surrender your life to Jesus? The second point, then, is also, notice here it says, which do what? Which keep the commandments of God. In other words, these also, too, are obedient to the law of God. And what is the law of God? Exodus chapter 20. And we can go through all these verses over and over again, but you know them. Exodus chapter 20. And all those laws in there that pertain, the Ten Commandments, pertain to us, those that love Jesus and keep the commandments. Well, there's a lot of people out there in this world, so to speak, keeping the commandments. Honor your neighbor, you know, don't commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Many people are doing that. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. But there's one part of the law that we all, that us as a congregation today know, that many, if not most of the world, has broken that one commandment, which is that, the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment. So then, the remnant people living after the time of 1798 also keep the commandments of God, but also specifically keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy. So who is the remnant? Those that love Jesus and those that keep the commandments of God. Amen? And also, too, the remnant has a testimony of Jesus Christ. And of course, you know where I'm going next. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? And I'm sure I hear it right now. I can imagine right now that many of you are quoting this verse as I speak. And it says, I fell at his feet to worship him and said unto me, see thou do it not. I am of thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for what? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Prophecy. Friends, in other words, the remnant people living in the last day prior to the second coming of Jesus love Jesus so much they're willing to do whatever it takes to serve Him. If Jesus asks them to jump, they say, how high? They keep the commandments, all the commandments, including the fourth one, the seventh-day Sabbath, and finally, thirdly, they have the spirit of prophecy. They have a prophetic interpretation of Scripture in the church. And friends, I this is one identifying mark of the true church in the last days, is that it properly interprets the Scripture and prophecy. Amen? The spirit of prophecy. Remember what the Bible says in 1 Timothy and Peter. Prophecy came not of what? Of old, by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved but by the Holy Spirit. So then, the spirit of prophecy is the prophetic interpretation of Scripture found in the Bible. And friends, that is one of the gifts that God has given this remnant people prior to the second coming of Jesus. Amen? So that's good news for us today. Some identifying marks for us to see the to see and identify the true church in the last days. So who is the remnant church? Those that love Jesus, those that keep the commandments, including the fourth commandment, and also two who have the testimony, which is the spirit of prophecy in the church. Also two, the spirit of prophecy is conclusive with the prophetic work of prophets in the church as well. In other words, a prophet within the church. The whole Bible is made up of prophets. In fact, the whole Word of God is built upon prophets. And so the church will continue in that gift, the gift of prophecy, prophetic interpretation, and so forth. Well, who is that? Who are they? I think we identified that. And I think if we're going to look for the remnant church, then we need to look for these qualities within the church. Well, not to puff you up with too much pride today, and I know many of us are going, amen, and I've heard this message before, I know what it's about. We are the remnant church. In other words, God has given a prophetic work, a Sabbath-keeping, commandment-keeping people, a work to the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. This church has been called to preach the gospel to the whole world. Amen? But I want to encourage you here today, before you get too high and mighty here, do you realize that though the true church in the last days, there is going to be a falling out? Are you aware of that? We call that the shaking. There's going to be a time when the shaking, those will fall out and some will come in. So that could be some of us sitting here today in this congregation will leave this truth, will leave this message. And it is well known too that many will come in. So there is a remnant people outside of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. Amen? And I hope you agree with me on this today. And the reason is because we don't want to be exclusive. Because this church has been given to all people. Everybody. And as we read in the book of Revelation, one of the messages of the true church in the last days is the three angels' message. And the message is to go where? To the whole world, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. So we're not exclusive in our denomination. Our doors are open to every walk of life that would come through this church. That's what makes it unique, is that we have a variety and a wide calling. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 1, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having the great power, and earth was lighted with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth wax rich with the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Watch, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her," what? "Of her plagues." Friends, this is a John the Baptist message. Amen. This is Elijah message. Choose ye today whom you will serve. Come and repent, the remission of sins. It is preparing the way for the soon return of Jesus Christ. We have an obligation, the remnant people have an obligation to preach the everlasting gospel to the world. Why? Because there's plagues that are going to be coming on this earth. And we are responsible, as Ezekiel tells us, we are responsible to tell and to share and to witness to these people so that they can flee the destruction that is about to come to planet Earth. Amen? That is our responsibility. And the Bible goes on to say in Ezekiel, their blood will be required on your shoulder if you do not tell them. In other words, we have an obligation. You know, sometimes we say, you know, when we come down to the judgment day, if you will, how come you never told me? Friends, if that question is ever asked any of us, my guarantee and probability is if it's being asked to you, you're probably not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty strong words. In other words, that's saying if we are not sharing, if we are not telling, if we are not telling people that Jesus is coming soon, repent and be saved, come to Jesus, accept His law, and so forth, friends, their blood will be required on our shoulder. In other words, their sin, we partake in their sins by not telling them their faults. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you all to get on soapboxes now and go out into the marketplaces and into the streets and start, you know, being all crazy and everything and, you know, repent, you know, doomsdayers now. That's not what we're becoming. But if we listen to last week's sermon, we are to mingle with the people. We are to reach the needs of the people. That's, friends, how we share the command. That's how we share our faith. That's how we share about Jesus. And through that instrument, by us ministering to the needs of people, we can reveal to the world the love of Jesus Christ. And we can point them to the Savior that pardons sins and that forgives freely. So it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven, come out of her, my people." This remnant people also, too, preaches the gospel. The purpose of the remnant people, the purpose of these people, is to preach the everlasting gospel. What is that everlasting gospel? It's Revelation chapter 14, the three angels' message. In that message is the hour of His judgment, the keeping of the commandments, including the seventh-day Sabbath, the second coming, false doctrine, false teaching, and so forth. I'm not going to go over all those today. But also, too, we preach, or this church, or this remnant people, point people to the salvation that's only found in Jesus Christ. So in other words, these remnant people have a sincere, heartfelt love relationship with Christ. Friends, if you don't have that first, then you probably really aren't a part of the remnant other than just taking a ride. In order for us to enter into heaven, we need who? We need Christ. And without Christ, how much can we accomplish? We can accomplish absolutely nothing. So we must have Jesus. The remnant people are in love with Jesus. They're willing to die for Christ. They're willing to lay down their life for Jesus because of what He has done for them. Are you in love with Jesus like this? Have you taken your opportunity in your days of life that you have to look at the cross of Calvary and to take that opportunity to have devotion at the foot of the cross and to look at the Savior and recognize what He has done for you? Because, friends, if we don't have that saving relationship with Jesus, how can we ever expect that others outside will have that saving relationship unless we can point them to that? See, that's what the problem is, I think, many times with the Advent denomination, is that we really have a problem between the works aspect and the faith. Works we do really well because that's so common. I mean, any of us can do works. It's part of our nature. But to have faith and to walk in love of Christ, I believe sometimes that that's why many other churches are growing. And even though they're preaching false truth, they have a love for Jesus, sincere love for Christ, that makes a big difference. And so we have to include the both. You know, the commandment keeping and the faith in Jesus. Does keeping the commandment save me? No. What saves me? Who saves me? Christ saves me. So it's faith in Christ. So we must share that love of Jesus to the world. So the purpose of the remnant is to preach the gospel. What is the mission then of this remnant? The mission is to bring people to a saving relationship with Christ. Amen? Isn't that what the Great Commission was? Matthew 28, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Wait, the Holy Spirit will come on through power. You'll go out and preach. And the Bible says He added to the church such as should be what? Should be saved. Sometimes I think we work too hard trying to grow our church. Friends, if we just find out who we are in Christ, God will do the numbers for us. Amen? We have to determine who we are and what we are in Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. Revelation chapter 12 and verses 10 and 11. What is the mission of this remnant? What is the mission of these people? The purpose is to preach the gospel, to preach the everlasting gospel. But the mission is the salvation of souls. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 12, and we'll start with verse 10. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives, what? Unto death." In other words, these people, these commandment-keeping, judgment-preaching people love Jesus. They recognize that they were saved by grace. And friends, the Bible says in John 3:16, what? For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his what? Only Son, right? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, that's the message to the world. We must include the hour of judgment. We must include with the Sabbath. We must include with the commandments. We must include with coming out of Babylon. We must include with the false church and all that stuff, the love that's found in Christ and Christ alone. Amen? I mean, what's the book of Revelation all about in the first place? Revelation 1. It's a revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Right? And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The Bible says over and over in the book of Revelation, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The spirit of prophecy is a revelation of Christ. This people, this remnant people, are to show to the world what it is like to follow Jesus and to love Jesus and to live like Christ. That's the message of this church. Not only its truth, but also to present Jesus to the world and to the whole population so that all can see what a loving God we serve. Amen? Friends, be careful what you do with the message. Be careful what you do with the message. We can make the message taste good, or we can make it taste sour. It's up to you. It's really up to you as a church body. It's up to me as an individual. Do I replicate Christ in such a way that people want to know me? Do I offend people? You know, we talk about, well, if I'm offending people, I must be preaching the word. That's not it either. You know, offenses are not always the best way to reach people. And it's not always knocking on the door of somebody's house and saying, you know, you're in sin. And so that's not what it's about. It's about pointing people to Christ. It's about loving Jesus. It's about loving him because he gave his life for you. The remnant and its mission. The mission is to preach. Excuse me, the purpose is to preach. Its mission is to reach. We preach to reach, to bring people to Christ. That's the message that we have. And friends, where are you in this remnant body? If there are people that are going to be coming in, if there are people out there that are the remnant, that are going to come into this fold. Jesus said, many I have that are not of this fold, and I would like to put in yet. In other words, there are going to be some that come in to the fold of Christ. There are those out there in the world that sincerely love Christ so much, but they have not yet received the truth. Maybe it's our fault, not just Elmira, but maybe it's our fault why Jesus hasn't come yet. Maybe it's time for us to stand up and to recognize who we are as a people. Maybe it's time for us to stand up and to recognize that God has given us a purpose. He has given us a mission. And it's our obligation to Christ and to our people and to the world outside to go and to give that mission, to share that message of hope to them, to bring them in and to point them to Christ. Are you doing that as a person? Are you doing that as a church individual? Are you doing that, those who occupy the pews today? My last sermon last week was just on that. If you occupy a place in the church, you have been called to leadership. And because of that leadership, you have been called to preach and to share, to preach and to teach, to preach and to reach, whatever you want to rhyme with it, to bring others to Jesus Christ. That is our obligation. But first, the remnant needs to start acting like the remnant. How are they to act? like Christ. Jesus said, follow in my footsteps. Take a careful look in your personal life. Take a careful peek into your walk with the Lord. How do you measure up? You know, we believe the message, but do we believe the messenger? We believe the message that has been shared with us, but do we believe the messenger who is Jesus Christ? Have you really, remnant people, have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you placed Him in the forefront of your life? Have you made Him your purpose, your life goal, everything? Is He the reason for which you live and move and have your being? Have you purposed in your life to take the call that He has given to you? Are you ready to take the challenges that are going to come your way because you accept Him and because you recognize that you are a remnant in the last days? Friends, let us not forget where we have come from. Let us not forget the message that God has given to us. What does it mean, friends, to be a Seventh-day Adventist? And are you preaching the Advent message? Jesus is coming again. Are you living like Jesus is coming again? Are you acting and behaving as though Jesus is coming again? You see, we have a moral obligation, if you will, to the people outside in the world around us. But first, this people, our people, the Elmira Church, open your heart to Christ today. Let Him come in. Ask Him to lead you and to guide you. Ask Him to help you preach and to teach and to reach people for Him. When we begin to do what He has asked us to do, the Lord will add to the church such as should be saved. Friends, come to Christ today. Put Him in your heart. Put Him in your life. Put Him in your mind and whatever you do and say, and allow Him to be your Lord and God. At this time, I invite you to turn to your neighbor and spend the next 5 minutes in prayer. And before we do, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then the elder in charge today will close in prayer after the 5 minutes. But just in the next 5 minutes, talk to each other, not about your work week, not about your challenges you're facing right now, but really the mission and purpose of the remnant church, of the remnant people. Pray for each other. Pray for this church that the Spirit of Christ will fall out so that Jesus can come soon. Pray that the people will be converted. Pray that you will be converted. Pray that our church will be converted to Christ. So that is my appeal to you today. And so before you turn to each other, I invite you just now to bow your heads with me before you turn. But as soon as I'm done and I say amen, go ahead and turn to your neighbor and spend that 5 minutes in consecrated prayer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for bringing us this message today, and I pray that as our church begins to pray this hour, that You will hear their prayers, that You will anoint their prayers with Your Spirit. And we thank You, Lord, for giving us and calling a remnant and preparing for Your soon return. We have a message, Lord, that You've given. I pray today that Your Spirit will touch us and rekindle that remnant message, that desire of who we really are within us, so that we can go home. Bless us, I pray, this hour in Jesus' name. Amen.